Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Well, I got my long johns on under my Hawaiian shirt because it's cold out there. So let's all just cuddle up this Monday night on East-West Audio Body Shop and talk with our great friend Bob Bergen, who's going to be here answering your questions about doing animation voices.
I'm going to share an Edge Studio Whittam's World feature, and it's going to be 5 for 5. I'm going to answer 5 questions on 5 topics in about 5 minutes. So we're going to cover a lot of things and do it quick.
Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about ISDN and really, do you need it and where is it going? And join us in the chat room. That's Monday night, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
East-West Audio Body Shop. We'll see you then.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East-West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Boy, it is the frigid East tonight. God, it is +6 here in Buffalo. +6. It's and falling too. But we're not. It's not snowing here. I mean, it's snowing down south.
Right.
I mean, yeah, we're not talking Atlanta. We're talking the southern tier of Western New York, where they get nailed. That's ski country down there.
Right.
But I mean, I can actually show you a map.
Can you?
Because we've been dying to see it. I will actually show you a weather map here.
Show us the weather map.
I know. Well, I want to. I've always wanted to be Al Roker.
That's right. We'll get the green screen going one of these days.
Yeah, really. Okay. Well, here you see the weather map here, and if we go to the next map here, you can see it's going to be cold for a couple of days. But if you zoom into Western New York here, where I live, you see now here's Buffalo, here's Lake Erie, here's Lake Ontario, there's Pat Sweeney right there, and they have actually closed the thruway between Syracuse and the Pennsylvania border because all the snow that's blowing across here. Nasty. But if we zoom into Buffalo here,
okay,
you see now here's the you can see the lake effect snow band there. It's all down here. I live here.
Right up there.
So while they're getting nailed down here in South Buffalo, I'm just sitting here. I can see the stars here, and then the wind could shift a whole 3 degrees, you know, to the south, and suddenly Amherst gets nailed, and that's the way it is.
Thanks for sharing that. That was actually entertaining.
I thought you might like that. Yeah. Anyway, we have a great show tonight. It's our first show of 2014. You know, I think I've written 2 checks wrong already so far. but we've got a great guest tonight. Bob Bergen will be joining us, the dean of voiceover people in Hollywood, and he's got lots of thoughts about a couple of things, and he's got a big workshop coming up in San Francisco, so we'll talk to him about that. And of course, he'll answer your questions, so when we get to that, you can ask him in the chat room, and our great chat room monitor, Anthony Gettig, who is totally freezing his tuchus off up in northern Michigan, will be relaying those questions to us. Anyway, and we've got a Whittam's World coming up. You're going to do 5 in 5 or something like that.
Yeah.
It should be interesting. Yeah. And I wanted to talk about ISDN. ISDN.
Well, Dan, take it away, and I'll chime in whenever you want me to.
Okay. I may call you in here, you know, just maybe clarify something. I'm sure if you live in New Jersey or in the tri-state area or in one of these places where ISDN is just, you know, Verizon and some of the other telco companies are like, we don't want to support it anymore. We're not going to install it. So if you have it, you know, fine. You know, but now I'm hearing from people that they're charging more for it, that the prices are going through the roof. And can you compete without ISDN? And is it time for a replacement? I think the question is no longer, is there something to replace it, but getting producers to accept alternatives. You know, there's been many, many times, you know, where it's, you know, I'll audition for something in New York City. And, you know, it says Tri-State. It says, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. I'm like, okay, I'll audition for it. So inevitably, I'll win the job. And they'll go, can you be at our Midtown Manhattan studio tomorrow at 9? And I'm like, no, I live in Buffalo. And there's usually a long silence on the other end of the line. And I'll go, so what's wrong with being in Buffalo? I said, well, yeah, we need you here live. And I'm like, why? My studio is just as good, if not better. I don't necessarily tell them that.
Right.
But, you know, I'm perfectly capable of sending you, you know, totally raw WAV files, and you can do with them what you want. And my quality is excellent, and it shouldn't be a problem. And they'll go, all right, we'll get back to you. Sometimes, you know, if they want you bad enough, they'll go, okay, we can work it out, no problem. Usually it's better with a female. If it's a guy, they're like, they don't even call you back. Women, they're like, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll do whatever it takes. You know, and then, you know, and then we'll just do it by, you know, my famous, you know, if I want to do like a phone patch, I've got this really sophisticated phone patch. Okay, you ready? Okay, here we go. It's my phone patch. All this high-tech crap, I don't understand why we need any of this stuff. I know you do, but anyway, the thing is we've got to get producers to understand that they are losing out on a humongous pile of talent here in the hinterlands and in flyover country from people who are perfectly capable of producing fine quality audio, but they can't get ISDN, can't afford ISDN, don't want ISDN. Because it is such a hassle to try and get it into your house or your trailer, depending on where you're living. And although I'm sure there are some people who are living, you know, are full-timers on the road doing voiceover who may actually have ISDN. You know anybody like that?
Full-timers on the road with ISDN at this stage? No, I can't think of anybody.
Because it can't be done.
Yeah, there's no good reason that you could do it.
That's right. So why even bother? So we've got a couple of different alternatives to it. You know, we've talked about Source Connect, which has been around for a while, and SoundStreak. We did that great presentation and demonstration on it a couple of weeks ago. And now this new thing, IDPT, which everybody is raving about, you know, because obviously it's less expensive and stuff. But we've got to get the producers to accept it, to understand that, you know, ISDN is not a dinosaur, it's a fossil. Yet I know there are plenty of people who have ISDN, are making a good living with it. Every time you fire that thing up, it better be producing major dineros. Otherwise, it's like, you know, selling milk at the supermarket. It's a loss leader for you. You know, it doesn't help. If it's something that's going to be producing tremendous amounts of income for you, then, you know, go for it. But it's IPDTL. Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate that. An expensive fossil. Yes, it is. This is one of those things. This is probably one of my biggest bugaboos because I had ISDN only for a short while. I had the Audio TX, which I think is still out there.
Yeah.
But it was a PC-based thing before I became a Mac. And it never worked for me. I could, you know, the guys from Verizon, oh, it should be doing this. Never worked. And I sold it to Bob Sauer, who's made a fortune with it. And he's been in love with me ever since, especially since I sold it to him for a good price. But I've never had ISDN since then. And I've done fine. And of course, you know, we're always curious what you guys think and what's the best way to try and convince our people who are hiring us to not necessarily use ISDN. And I think ISDN is probably just a minor annoyance, I think, to most people. They wouldn't even think about using ISDN. They're perfectly happy with the quality of the audio they send us. Your thoughts, Mr. Whittem?
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, I live in the Hollywood bubble, and a lot of my clients are the type who do rely on ISDN because their clients rely on it. And it's really frustrating. The hoops that we jump through to make those, you know, make them happy and get that ISDN connection working is pretty extreme. Let me give it a really quick example. This is pretty timely, but just over the weekend and last week, I set up a self-bridging system for a client. Ooh. So basically what that means is he has his own ISDN box. He also has Source Connect at home, and he's got Source Connect on, he has two licenses of Source Connect, one for the home system and one for his VO2Go portable kit. And so there are bridging services out there, several of them. One of them I personally put together myself for a client of mine. And, you know, they get very costly. If you have to use them once in a while, fine. And, you know, it's a might be a good option for those who can't get ISDN but want to have access on some level, but it gets really costly. So anyway, I built him his own bridging system. So he actually source connects into his computer at home, which is digitally connected to a Zephyr, and he is now connected virtually to his Zephyr at home, and he can remote into his computer and, you know, check his Zephyr, make sure it's on ready and make sure he can reboot it and all that stuff remotely.
Brilliant.
But man, it's a lot of hurdles to jump through, and I tried to make it as simple as possible, and there's still like a pre-flight checklist that he has to read. And, you know, make sure he does all these steps or, you know, it's just, right. It's not going to work. So, you know, we've got our bridging companies like Out of Here and some of the other ones as a backup, you know, if his own thing doesn't work. It's just kind of crazy, though, what guys go through to make those clients happy. But in this case, this particular client is working with, you know, ABC, you know, so he can justify it, you know.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Well, I guess the question really is, What is the objection from some of the bigger producers that are using ISDN? Yeah. Is it about the audio quality, reliability, or is there some other piece of the equation that we're not getting? Or is it just, we have it, it's in here, it works, and we don't want to work with you because you don't have it?
You know, I think it's a combination of all of those. I think part of it's like a way that they can weed out some talent so they don't have to even consider them. I think it's like an old boys club in some ways. I think it's we don't want to learn new stuff. We already paid for this stuff. We don't want to buy new stuff. You know, anything. It goes on and on. You know, engineers, you know, that they don't want to learn. They just don't want to learn new stuff. I say
you're an engineer and you want to learn something new every day.
I know, but these guys, it becomes just a 9-to-5 or job for them or whatever their shift is. As I say, they hate having to put down a cup of coffee. You know, it's like, all right.
Much easier to just dial the telephone.
Use two hands, you know, whatever. You know, they hate to have to think. Once they kind of get complacent and just they do the same thing every day, you know, and just it becomes a job. You know, they don't like solving problems. And that's where Dan and I are obviously different. But, you know, that's the problem. They don't want to learn new things. And, you know, until ISDN becomes unavailable in a very, very big way, you know, like all of a sudden a section of LA, no ISDN, they literally chop the lines off or something. Right. You know, it's going to be hard to make that shift, that swing away from ISDN.
Well, I think it's probably one of the biggest issues we have to deal with as a voiceover community in 2014, because I think this is going to be the tipping point.
Yeah, I think this is the year where things are going to shift. I really do. With so many systems coming out, some of them very affordable. Source Connect is getting better than ever. It's more and more stable. They have their support. And this is, I'll tell you, this is my little 2 cents about any premium service that costs real money. The support is what you're paying for. You know, once you've bought the software or once you've bought your Apple computer or whatever it is, that what you're paying for is the support. And whatever system you're using, software, hardware, it's only as good as the support behind it. So, you know, keep that in mind. I mean, IPDTL is so early. It's really early days. The technology has proven it works. I did one with a guy in Spain for like 50 minutes, and I don't think there was a single
dropout.
And the latency was very low and everything. It was great. But, you know, if something did go wrong, well, I'm going to call that one guy in England that started it and hope he's available and not at dinner at that moment. You know, the support, yeah, really. You know, the urgency, when you're doing real-time sessions that use ISDN, there's a lot of urgency. There's a reason they use it, because they need that audio in this window from 2 to 2:30, you know, and that urgency is there. And if you don't have the support, you're in trouble. So absolutely. ISDN has proven itself time and time again to be overwhelmingly reliable, and that's why it's sticking around.
And the infrastructure is there, but
mostly
not forever.
That's right.
Yeah. To me, it's an issue of exposing more people to the, you know, the ability to get access to some of the better markets. But
right.
That's just me.
Yep.
Because I want to make everybody happy.
Yep.
Anyway, we're going to try and continue to make you here happy on East West Audio Body Shop. We've got George's Whittem's World coming up in just a couple of minutes. Bob Bergen's going to join us. We have to ask Bob what he thinks about that. Of course, he doesn't have it either. So
no, he'll tell you why.
He'll tell it like it truly is.
Yep.
Anyway, we'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop with George Whittem on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
Yeah, I think it's also done with a little bit of icicles out here. There's usually like, you know, mist on the windows here. Yeah, the windows probably need replacing, but it's frozen. I mean, it's just like frost. It's like frost on your windshield.
Wait. On the inside or the outside?
It looks like the inside.
Oh, no, that's not good.
that's not good.
Holy moly.
Yeah, that's cold. Because let's see if the temperature is still 6 here. The temperature is now 4 degrees.
Oh,
it's the floor.
We should have a little pop-up of the bubble in the corner with the current temperature as it drops and plummets.
Jeez.
Will it hit 0 by the end of the show?
Oh, it's going to go down.
What's the over-under on that? Anybody betting?
I remember 15 below here once.
Yeah.
And I had to go outside and experience it. And it was like,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And what's your point?
Anthony's got you beat though. Minus 5.
Minus 5. But it's fine. Minus 5 is the high there.
Right.
So
brutal.
We're going to just keep making fun of you all winter long, Anthony.
Man. Well, you like you say, you choose where you choose.
Where you live.
That's right. All right, well, should I jump into this little bit of something? I can't even, you know what, honestly, I can't even remember what I talked about in this 5
for 5. More fun.
So let's all watch together and see what I was talking about back in November when I shot this one. And, well, I hope you enjoy it. Hey, everybody, this is George Whittem reporting for Whittem's World. I thought I'd do a little something different this week since I'm getting so many questions I can't possibly keep up with all you guys. But there's a lot of questions that really aren't enough for a full show topic, so what I'm going to do this time is 5 and 5. I'm going to answer 5 questions and keep it all under 5 minutes. So without further ado, let me dig right in. The first one comes from Michael Miro, and he says, I've heard good reports on the Apogee mic. I know it's compatible with my iPad, but will it work with my HP laptop? Give it a shot. I heard reports unofficially from Apogee that it has been known to work on other computers. They're not officially allowed to say that because they're very much an Apple licensed type product. So they're not really allowed to say they support anybody else. But you know what? Give it a try. Plug it in. You never know what may happen. It's certainly not going to break it. Worst case scenario, you just return it.
So it may actually work just fine for you. Next question is from Mike Martin. Do you have any opinion on my microphone, the Blue Yeti by Blue Microphones, not the Pro version? I've been using it for VO only, and although the look is what attracted me, it's cute, isn't it? How does it measure up? It's actually a surprisingly good microphone. To me, what makes a microphone measure up for voiceover is it has to be very low noise, right? It has to have very low noise itself. So when you turn on the mic and hit record and you turn up the gain, you shouldn't have a lot of hiss. And this is one mic that's capable of recording with very low noise. But other aspects about it, I'm not so happy about. I don't like its, I think it's a neat look, but I think it's a very awkward mic that's difficult to place very easily. And it's very heavy. So putting it on the end of a long boom mic stand can be really awkward and it can tip over. So it's not my favorite, but considering its cost and its relative sound quality is impressive, you know, it may work for you. So go for it. Question three comes from Robin Rowan, and he asks, I wondered if you could address the topic, what is a processor, a preamp, and a mixer, and what do they do? Do you need all three? Are any of those features built in the audio recording software? Is a preamp the same as a mixer, or is it a different animal altogether? These pieces of equipment can be confounding, and many folks buy way more than they need, and they can't successfully use it in conjunction with their software. Yes, you're absolutely right. People overthink it. Okay, quickly. The preamp is the device that's inside another piece of equipment to boost the gain. It could be inside a mixer. It could be inside a USB audio interface. Or it could be a standalone mic preamp that is then connected to other equipment. I recommend keeping it simple, just like I said in episode one way back a few months ago, that you should just have a standalone microphone USB interface that's a simple device that doesn't have any extra bells and whistles that lets you plug your mic into it and then plug it into the computer. Keep it simple. There's plenty of solutions that have really good sound quality without spending a lot of money. The processing that some preamps or channel strips may have is often done most easily in software anyway. So you don't need all three, and you only need a mixer if you need to add in more fancy equipment like an ISDN codec or a foam patch. Question number four comes from Jim Hickey. He asked about Twisted Wave. He has Adobe Audition and Audacity, and now he's giving Twisted Wave a try. And he asks about the noise reduction effects that both Audition and Audacity include. And his question is, how do I access the same or similar effect with Twisted Wave? I don't see that specific effect in that program. You're right. Twisted Wave does not include a noise reduction tool like is included with Adobe Audition and Audacity, right? But I find that using the dynamics processing, which comes with Twisted Wave, the AU Dynamics, if you set it correctly, it can do a really great job doing what's called expanding or noise gating. And in most cases, I find that that tool is actually far better to use than noise reduction, unless you have a really high-end noise reduction software like Isotope RX, which can do a pretty nice job. But I find that the audio unit's dynamics processor that comes on every single Mac, when set correctly, can do a really great job, and it doesn't make me miss the noise reduction tool at all. And lastly, question number five comes from Scott McDonald. He has a question about Pearl Microphone's priority. It's a particular model of microphone, and it's said to have a bit of a boost around 5 kHz. When getting a VO mic, should it have relatively flat response across the frequency range, or is it okay to get one that has some kind of built-in EQ? And will it matter for an engineer who is receiving the file if the mic has some kind of emphasis or not? That's a good question, and you know, this could be a whole show, and I'll talk about microphone choosing in another show, but for now, let me just say that that 2 to 3 dB around 5 kHz boost is very subtle. That's not very much at all. So if it was not the best EQ setting for your voice, it would be very easy to correct for that later. No mic that is great on a voiceover is going to be completely flat. Every microphone has some sort of a curve. They're all unique, and that's why choosing a mic for your voice can be a lifelong adventure. So don't waste too much time on it. And if you want to know how to make your mic sound great with your voice or a lot of other things, you can certainly look me up over at vostudiotech.com, and I can help you tune EQ, tune dynamics, whatever you need to fit your voice and your style and your studio, so you don't have to think about it and worry about it for every session you send out. And if you've got your questions you want to have answered on the show, please do send them in to widdomsworld@edgestudio.com. I really appreciate you guys helping out to keep this show moving along, and I'll see you next time. And don't forget to subscribe and like the videos. I really appreciate it when you click that like button. Thanks, everybody. There you have it. There you have it.
Well, so what were you talking about?
Yeah, what were we talking about? Dan and I are blabbing away the whole time while the video is going. I'm realizing I don't even know what I was talking about. Hopefully it was educational, whatever it was. Does anybody get BSW catalogs? Because this showed up in the mail today.
Who does this guy's publicity?
Do anybody know this man? Joe Cipriano, you are my hero. Dude, the guy gets around. Truth be told, Joe is good friends with the president of BSW, which was really...
He's got an in.
Yeah, he's got an in, but I mean, really, it was instrumental in helping the SAG Foundation Don LaFontaine Lab get off the ground because of that connection. They donated a huge amount of stuff to the lab gear, like at least $10,000 worth of stuff. So good company, real nice people. It's not a big company. It's only about 20, 25 employees, maybe 30, but you know, they carry some really esoteric, some of the more esoteric stuff that you can't get from other companies. You know, here's the team of folks there. Good people. A little free plug for BSW, but you know, good guys over there. I like them.
Right.
I got an RC10 RC car for Christmas for my wife. She doesn't know she got it for me, but there you go. Anybody any RC geeks out there? Okay.
Hey, while we got like 2 minutes here, why don't we talk about this thing that we heard about from our friend Mike Goodman in Chicago? This is
absolutely.
He's got a new interface.
Mixer face. Yeah, if anybody's interested in it, it's on Indiegogo. That's IndieGogo.com. Just it's easier than giving you the whole URL because it's one of those stupid long URLs. So just search in there for Mixer Face, MIXERFACE. But anyway, it's what you might think it is. It's a USB audio interface made by Sentrance, but for portable use with an iPad.
Or an iPhone.
It looks like it works with the 30-pin and the new lightning-based connector on the iPhones. It's got an internal rechargeable lithium battery. This is the product I've been waiting for them to make. Waiting.
So something that's self-powered.
Yeah, something that's self-powered. Basically, the MicPort Pro for, you know, using with an iPad. And this doesn't mean they're making it. This basically means they want to make it, but they want to know that people want this thing. So if you want them to know that you want this thing, go to their Indiegogo campaign. And there's 25 days left, and they're trying to raise $52,000. It's a good chunk of change. So if you donate $25, you can get a t-shirt. And if you jump in early and one of the first 100 people to donate $279, you'll get one of the very first Mixer faces.
Right.
And they're looking at delivering in March. So that's actually March delivery date. I would have thought they'd be talking about, you know, a half a year from now. So this thing must be for real.
Yeah, well, it's certainly fresh out of the box.
Yeah.
And maybe it has a longer cord than an iTrack Solo.
Yes, that is.
That's one of the problems with that little
device.
These
guys are smart. I guarantee they looked at all the competing products that were out there, the app, you know, they looked at them all and said, all right, what are the annoying things about all of these things? And then design theirs, you know. So very cool. Absolutely. I'm hoping they make it. So go check that out over at Indiegogo.com and look for Mixer Face.
Yes.
There's a YouTube video that'll explain to you what it's all about.
I do hope Mike is watching tonight. Anyway, all right, we've got Bob Bergen coming up here on East West Audio Body Shop, and it's now down to 3 degrees here in Buffalo. it's not always like this. It's gorgeous all winter long. We get little bits of this and that. All right, I'll stop talking about it. You'll notice I'm in short sleeves.
That's right, no matter what.
No matter what. The Hawaiian shirt's there. Anyway, Bob Bergen will be with us in just a minute, so stay right where you are. We'll be right back here on EWABS.
And now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
Yeah. So would you rather have it like be really hot or be really cold? I think I saw a survey about that in the paper the other day, and it was 50-50.
Really? It was pretty much right down the middle?
That's right.
Really hot or really cold? Either way, it could kill you. But I think
you're
more likely to die from. Well, actually, no, that's a really good question. Actually,
it goes either way.
For the ages.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cold out here, and they say you go outside, you're going to die.
I'm like, right.
Yeah, sure. You know, I've got good boots. It's not a problem. But anyway,
Bob is right now. We're waiting for Bob to answer, so we'll talk until Bob shows up. Oh, he didn't answer. So we'll give him another chance.
Yeah, we know he's there. We were talking to him before.
Yeah, yeah. There he is.
Okay. I have. Okay. Stop listening to the show, Bob.
Big.
I know. It's not.
Turn your radio down, Pittsburgh.
It's not me. It's my techie. Oh. it's so not me because I don't even know what he's doing.
Right. Exactly.
I have no idea what he's doing.
We have the world's biggest delay, just like real radio, but yeah, we don't have a dump button like the real radio.
Actually, I didn't even know you guys had a delay. That impressed me. It's like you guys are like legitimate.
I wish we could have pretended that we were legitimate.
I can't see George. Why can't I see George?
I had to turn off my camera.
He's there. Don't worry.
Okay. See, I need to know that. It's not you. It's me.
No,
okay,
it's me. Yeah, it slows down things on the show, so we turn it off during the real deal.
All right.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Really,
it's my pleasure. My pleasure.
And Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to everybody. How many people are participating in this thing?
Well, we've chat got room.
Close to 60 right now.
Yeah. Oh, hi, everybody. Hi, Marion.
Chat room's got 36 people in there. We're looking forward to seeing what things come out of the chat room tonight. So we'll be keeping questions feeding in.
Yes. But anyway, let's get the show on the road. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. You're one of our few repeat guests. Where there's so many people have been on this show.
You guys pay great residuals, right?
The best in the business.
Ah, there you go.
All right.
This is a union job, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly.
I wish.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, you know, I while we've got you here, I figured I'd just lead off with a really heavy-duty question.
Oh, all right.
And ask you, really, what is your overall view of the state of the voiceover business from the perspective of Bob Bergen or Big?
It's an involved question because the business has so radically changed over the last 10 to 15 years. I see more people pursuing and working in voiceover than ever before. And I see fewer people making a good living at it because there's just, you know, the technology that we're talking on right now has taken so much of the work away from what was primarily union benefit paying, you know, paying into your pension and getting insurance and residuals. I mean, none of us ever made a living on our session fees. It was all about the residuals. And today, because of technology and because of that perfect storm, which was the commercial strike that coincided with online casting, it opened up the opportunities to everybody. What it also did was I call it the Walmartization of voiceover. You've got people who $100 to talk for 20 minutes is a fortune. And they don't understand the concept of residuals. They don't understand the concept of working union. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? It depends on who you talk to. But the truth of the matter is nobody will, I mean, the flyover states, they will never understand what it was like to work in voiceover 20 years ago because the average working person was paid when they weren't working, and that was their residuals.
Right. But the difference, of course, today is that the type of stuff you're talking about and the type of work that people were doing is probably a minority of the work that's actually available out there.
Which work? And
all voiceover work, because e-learning and so many other different genres of material have come into existence. So there's plenty of work out there.
There has never been more work. And in fact, I got to tell you, even in the union world, in the world of animation, when I got into the business, there were three networks. And Disney might have done an animated feature every 5 to 7 years. There are 5 billion cable channels. There are cartoon networks. There are Disney channels. There's Nickelodeon. Every major studio is doing animation. They have a thriving animation department. So there has never been more opportunities for a cartoon actor than today.
Well, absolutely. But it's one of those things that, you know, it's the market will fill, hopefully will, you know, adjust all this out. But I hear what you're saying about it. Do you think there's a lot of opportunity in animation? Because we're constantly harping on this on the show, because we've had a lot of other animation people on. And we asked the same question. Do you have to live in that 10 square mile area of Southern California to really succeed in animation these days?
You do today. But I will tell you that, you know, 20 years ago, if somebody had said to me, you know, you could live in Cincinnati and have access to the same copy as people in Los Angeles, I would have said, you're crazy. It ain't going to happen. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, and plus, you'd have to live in Cincinnati.
What's that?
Plus, you'd have to be living in Cincinnati.
You have to be living in Cincinnati, but they've got Grater's ice cream. It's worth it. Okay. I think today animation is 95%+ in Los Angeles. That said, there's character work in the world of voiceover outside of animation. There's games outside of LA. There commercials. Good 40% of all commercials ask for some kind of a character. Audiobooks, children's books, toys. So there is work out there for the character actor. But if you really want to work in mainstream animation, unless it's anime, the anime dubbing capital of the world is Texas for some reason. But primarily, animation right now is still in LA. Yeah.
Interesting. How does someone really know if they should try animation? What do you think is something? I mean, Karen was asking, you know, what's your story? I think we all know your story. About the Jewish kid who became the voice of Porky Pig.
That's right.
How can someone really find out, what makes somebody realize that perhaps they should try animation as opposed to just doing everything else?
It's the same little thing inside of them that says what makes somebody want to be a writer or a sculptor or a dancer or anything in the arts. You've just got this thing inside you that you want to do it. I mean, I think most of the people that do cartoons, and I'm talking, I mean, the people I know, the Maurice LaMarches and the Rob Paulsons, and these were all actors first, and brilliant character actors. I think that when I was a kid living in Cincinnati, I did live in Cincinnati for a little while, I would have killed for a cartoon voiceover class to come to my town and give me a taste of what this business is all about, because I was also the kid who would have said to my parents, well, enjoy Cincinnati, I'm moving to Los Angeles because that's where cartoons are done. I was fortunate that my dad took a job here when I was 14, so I didn't have to leave my family to pursue this, but I would have. I mean, I think if you want to do or pursue animation, just like I think you know if you want to pursue audiobooks or if you want to pursue commercial voiceover. I think you're born with talent. I think what classes do is that they teach you the techniques that allow you to reproduce your talent at will. But you know, if you've got that thing inside you, I really do call it a disease, the artist disease, that you have to be in front of the microphone. You have to get that. I tell my students, if you don't get a high at the mic, you shouldn't do it. I mean, and you shouldn't do it for the paycheck. You should do it because you really just enjoy that time in front of the mic being creative.
Right. If it ain't fun, why do it?
Exactly. And there's so many more easy things in life to pursue other than show business. If you can think of something else you'd rather do, do it. But if you literally go, I have to do this, I won't be happy unless I even just pursue it, forget making money, just pursue it, then you got to do it. Otherwise, you're going to feel regret. I would rather be a failed actor when I'm 70 than be 70 and live with regret.
Absolutely. I think we all feel that way. Changing gears just a little bit here.
Yes.
Technology, of course, has changed. We were talking about ISDN just a little bit a while ago, and I did want to ask you about that. You know, while I got the opportunity, what are your thoughts on ISDN compared to what we were saying about it?
I don't have ISDN. I actually, I was going to say I inherited Randy Thomas's booth. I purchased Randy Thomas's booth when she moved to Florida, and it's a beautiful acoustic systems, very solid booth. But when I got it, I asked my agent, should I get ISDN? My agent at the time said no, and my current agent, Atlas Talent, said no. And the reason they said no is because there's too many There's too many ways to get ISDN if you need it for a session. First of all, most agents have ISDN. At least the top agents have ISDN. I've got friends with studios I could use. But like you were talking about earlier, I think technology is going to change faster than it would make sense for me to have ISDN. So I don't need it for what I do. And if I do need it, I've got access to it.
Yeah, and the same here. I mean, if I need it, it's like I can run downtown and there's somebody that has a good ISDN studio.
Let me ask you this. Are you turning down auditions or being turned down for auditions because you don't have ISDN? Are you consciously going, well, I can't do that audition. I don't have ISDN.
I've never had an audition come in that said you must have ISDN to do this.
Okay. Yeah,
my agent sends me my copy, and it doesn't say what kind of a studio we need from you. In fact, I take that back. I do have one agent that says, you know, the client must use your ISDN studio. And okay. I'll just, you know, graciously say thank you very much. I don't have one. Yeah. And that's okay. And you don't have to do every job or every audition. You know, you just do what you need and can do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a business. You have to decide, is this investment for me going to, you know, reap the benefits of the investment?
Yeah. And I just never found... I'm also a technical idiot. God bless my techie who is sitting right next to me. because I'm really not. I just recently learned that on a light switch, that's on, that's off. That's it for me. And they're very good. See, you learned too, Dan. All right.
I did.
I don't like learning new stuff. The idea of some other mumbo jumbo going into my office scares the heck out of me. And I had my studio set up for me by a guy named Dave Burgess out here, I guess like 8-9 years ago. And knock my bar. It's been healthy.
Excellent.
I actually do have a glass of wine, so cheers.
Cheers.
Amen. Okay. You have your own home studio?
Yeah.
You were telling you have Randy Thomas's old booth.
I have a Sennheiser that I don't use because, and you'll probably know the name of this, you by either one of you. My buddy Pat Fraley gave me a mic that he called the Chinese Neumann.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The name is not, it's not on the top of my head, but
I don't know what it is, but it sounds great.
He just
gave it to me one day as a gift, and he's a sweet guy and it sounds terrific. So that's what I use.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break right now.
All right.
And we'll come back, talk about Harlan Hogan for 5 seconds. And
Harlan, hi, Harlan. He's a good guy. I love Harlan.
We love Harlan. We especially love him here. But we'll be back. We've got lots of questions from the audience. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back here with Bob Bergen.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
So what else are you planning on doing tonight? I thought so. Now back to East West Audio Body Shop with Dan and George.
We are back, and what else are we doing? Trying to stay warm.
I'm embarrassed to say that before I came on, I turned the heat on, and that's just so wrong, isn't it?
my hand gets stiff. The joints in my right hand get stiff when I'm in my office in the morning. It's a little chilly.
There you go. Yeah.
Not here. I just have my shoulders just.
Just run your fingers through your mustache.
There you go. It helps. It's a lot of exercise, actually. Well, we got a couple seconds here. Harlan Hogan's a friend of yours, is he not?
I love Harlan. He's a great guy.
He is. And he's a sponsor here on East West Audio Body Shop. And the thing is if you need home studio equipment, there's really only one place you have to go to get the basics, the stuff that he's already picked out for you, plus all the other stuff, and that is voiceoveressentials.com. You thought I was going to forget the name, didn't you?
Yes.
He's only been the sponsor for 126 episodes.
Right. He has been there since the beginning.
He has. And great stuff there. The, of course, the Harlan Hogan voiceover VO1A, mm-hmm. the voiceover microphone, which you are hearing my dulcet tones on at the moment. And plus the Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones, which we talk about all the time, is a great pair of headphones That's for right. voiceover. Not so great for Pink Floyd, but very, very good for voiceover. or whatever it is you kids are listening to these days.
You kids.
and of course, you can get all the other great stuff that he's got there. And of course, there's the ABS, the boom jockstrap. what is ABS? It stands for... The boom support. It keeps your boom from
auxiliary
saying.
Boom.
Keeps your boom from flopping.
Yeah,
that's right.
Boom flop protection system.
There you go.
That's right. So you don't. So you don't need Mike Agra.
Actually, I got a good. Can I? You know, this is a. I'm going to call an audible here, but I do have a good plug of the porta booth for Harlan. I shot this today.
Really?
If you're really astute, you might know who this is. Sorry for those who can't see it, but here we go.
So what else are you planning on doing tonight? I thought so.
Run.
Let's try selecting it first. There we go.
Okay.
One. Inside Llewyn Davis has been nominated for 4 Golden Globe Awards, including Best Director, Joel and Ethan Coen, Best Actor, Oscar Isaac, and Best Picture of the Year.
Nice. That works pretty well.
Inside Llewyn Davis.
Or the Porta Booth Plus. They both come with great carry cases.
So yeah, for those that couldn't see it, that was Mike McCall speaking into a Porta Booth Plus that I just rigged up for him because he's working in a theater for the next few months and he needs to be able to still make those sessions happen. And set it up in an office. We threw one moving blanket over a huge window behind him. Voila, instant studio. And surprisingly sounded good. I mean, we did a session with ABC and they were like, yep, that works for us. So,
well,
what do you know?
Network stuff with a porta booth. So go on over to voiceoveressentials.com. He's got the best stuff there is.
Thanks, Harlan.
Thank you, Harlan. All right, back to Bob Bergen, who's just there. Or are we supposed to be talking to Porky? I'm not quite sure.
whatever works for you.
Talk to the pork.
How do you?
Nominated for 4 Golden Globes.
Anyway, we got a bunch of questions here. Amy E. Fisher, the real Amy Fisher, asks, do you need an agent?
For what?
Good question.
Good question.
For animation? Absolutely. But to work in voiceover today, do you need an agent? No, of course you don't need an agent. Will your career be better with an agent? Absolutely. Because there are some buyers, some advertising agencies that won't work on the online casting resources. So yeah, I mean, my day-to-day, God, it was very slow when it started. And by the end of the day, every 20 minutes, my agent was sending me more and more copy. I wouldn't have those opportunities without an agent. They weren't all animation. Some of it was, but they weren't all animation. So yeah. I mean, what do you want out of your career? And I think most people are insecurely humble. They don't want to say what they really want out of their career for fear of not getting there, for fear of, well, if it doesn't work out, am I a failure? I always tell my students, you know, go for the top. What is the top? Well, what do you want out of your career? I mean, my particular thing was I wanted to be this guy. That was it. Odds were against me. You know, I mean, I lived in the Midwest and I wasn't a trained actor and... It worked out fine. But if you really want to compete with the big boys, not only do you need an agent, you need a top agent. You got to have great demos. You got to have a website. You got to constantly update and stay relevant and reinvent and study. I work out with a promo coach every once in a while because, hey, I mean, I've been doing this for 30 plus years, but styles change. You get comfortable. You get complacent. You really need to stay in the game. And an agent is, oh my God, I love my agent. If my agent's watching, hi, I love you. I'll give you 10% of this broadcast.
Yeah.
Oh, they can have all of it. Tremaine Kendrick Mosley asks, and this is actually a pretty good question. I think a lot of people think about this. Why does Pixar and other movie houses continue to get movie stars to do animation, why not just get veteran or up-and-coming voiceover folks?
The act or art of hiring well-known people for animation is not new. Disney started doing that with Snow White in what was Snow White, 37, 38. But the stars back then were from radio. And radio back then was as pop culture popular as TV is today. But Disney also only did a cartoon every 5 to 7 years. Today, you've got every Universal, Sony, Paramount, all doing cartoons with celebrities playing the leads. Why? Because they're business people. And they want to bring in box office. Does a celebrity necessarily mean a great performance? Not in cartoons, but also not in live action as well. Just because a major star is playing the part doesn't mean they're great for everybody. Yeah. However, look at the credits in the cartoons. You will see at the very end, usually after caterer, and I always wondered who caters the cartoons, additional voices. And you'll see a lot of names, including mine on occasion, of us non-celebrities who are fortunate enough to work in animated features. Are we playing the leads? Usually not. Would we like to? Abso-freaking-lutely. But we get the same amount of money because a lot of times, unless you're doing $20 million Shrek movies, a lot of times celebrities get scale plus 10 to do cartoons per day. And we do too. But we get lovely residuals that are just outstandingly delicious and wonderful. So there's work for everybody in every genre of voiceover. I'm not going to lie to you. My ego would love to play Buzz Lightyear rather than the Green Army Man on the left. But I'm happy to work. I'm fortunate to work. Yeah. So I'm not one who spends time complaining about what's out of my control because that's counterproductive.
Right.
Absolutely. Let's see here. So we talked about representation. Steve Gonzalez wants you to tell your story of how you met Mel Blanc.
Okay. Well,
in a nutshell.
What's that?
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell.
I'll try to make it short. I wanted to be Porky Pig. We moved to LA. I'm going to make this really short. I called him. I called him. Tracked him down. I tracked him down under his wife's name, Estelle. And if you go to my website, bobbergen.com, on the page called Cool Clips, you can listen to the conversation because I bugged it, which is completely illegal. Kids, don't try this at home. During the course of the conversation, he mentioned the name of the studio he was working at that week. So when I finished talking to him, I called that studio. He didn't mention the day or the time. He just mentioned the name. And I called the studio pretending to be his assistant. And I said, hi, I'm calling to confirm Mel Blanc's appointment for Thursday at 9. And they said, well, we have him on the books for Wednesday at 11. I went, I'm looking at the wrong day. I'm so sorry. So I told my mom, I'm skipping school on Wednesday. And you'll take me to see Mel Blanc. So when we got to the studio, I told the receptionist that we were his guests, and she said he's right in there. And when I walked into the recording studio, I told his producer that we were friends of the receptionist, and she said, we'll have a seat, and I got to watch him work. And it was magical just to watch the genius of this industry create these characters. It was I could have died that day. I'm glad I didn't, but I could have died that day.
Yeah, a lot like Steven Spielberg. It's like, Think and Grow Rich, persistence and having the chutzpah to go do those types of things.
It's interesting. People say, what made you do that? I didn't think not to do that. If your thing is baseball, call a baseball player. If your thing is politics, call a politician. If the worst thing they're going to say is no, but they might say yes. And you guys, everybody watching this right now will vouch for me. Voiceover and the voiceover people and the voiceover industry are just really nice, neat, generous people who are more than happy. I got to tell you, Rob Paulson, Maurice, Debbie, Derryberry, there's a core of people in this industry that are so welcoming to not just fans, but people interested in getting into this. And it's not like we're giving away our trade secrets, because if you're good, you're going to work. It doesn't matter who's competing against you. But it's a very wonderful fraternity sorority group of people that are just, graciously there for each other.
Absolutely. Speaking of Debbie Derryberry, you told us the sad story that Mimi the Pig has passed on.
Yeah, that's all, folks. Yeah. Mimi passed away over the holidays, I think.
That's so sad.
We loved Mimi.
That is sad. Is my BLT done? Oh, I'm so sorry. Is that wrong?
Too soon.
All right. Never
too mind. Soon. Was it too soon?
Sorry.
All right. Yeah. Andy Barnett asks, How does a 34-year-old with two kids, a wife, a mortgage, who lives in Kansas, make the decision to jump to L.A. to pursue cartoon voiceover?
That was Andy's question?
These are some doozies.
Yes, that was his whole question, yes.
Hey, Andy, here's the answer. If you don't do it, somebody else will.
Excellent mm-hmm. answer.
This is an industry about risk. There's no possible way to Absolutely. Succeed without risk and gamble. Sometimes that risk and gamble comes in three ways: financial, creative, or geographic. Now you can sit around and complain you really wanted, but, and there's a lot of buts. I can't afford to get there. I've got a family. I've got a life. Or just do it. And if it's not right for you, don't complain about not doing it. Because your competition is. But people are doing it every day.
Absolutely.
I know, risk. I mean, I'm not working in the show business directly, but even to do what I'm doing for a living, to leave Pennsylvania and leave my friends and family and come out Absolutely. Here, dude, it was a huge risk, and it's been a hell of a lot of work, and there's been some serious financial ramifications for me, and I'm still here 10 years later because I want to be here. I love this freaking town. I love
and
this
I think
place.
what people also need to understand is no matter where you are in your career, whatever level you're at, it doesn't stay there. You have to work to keep it there. Yeah. You've got highs and lows,
yep.
but you still have to take those risks. Sometimes those risks are just staying in the game. Sometimes right. those risks are, damn, I'm having a really lousy, slow year. I still have to have fun at the mic and be creative. Mm. How can I put myself out there and sound like I'm having a good time when I'm really not having a great, you just, because you're an actor, you do it. So yeah, that risk, that gamble, and that part of the business doesn't change no matter where you are.
Right.
Absolutely. Doug Turkel asks,
Hi Doug.
Bob, hey, do you still study with coaches? If so, with whom?
I'm not going to mention with whom because I never said, hey, is it okay if I advertise that I study with you? But I do coach with people. And I think that if the top singers and dancers on Broadway are with their vocal coach during the day before they go and perform Wicked or Chicago – why doesn't a Scale Plus 10 voiceover actor check your ego at the door, people? Everybody needs a coach. And even when you're uber successful, sometimes you get into that automatic pilot mode where you're just kind of phoning it in and you need someone to kick your butt and say, you're just phoning it in. So yeah, I think coaching is essential. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a coach.
Okay. Sort of related to that, Rosie Amador and Devox sort of adds into there. What do you do to practice? You have any recommended reading or websites? What do you do to keep sharp?
I'm in a fortunate place in my life where my auditions and my work is my practice. I mean, I'm in my booth every day. You know, at the end of today, I was exhausted because I think I left my booth for maybe 30 minutes from about 8 o'clock this morning until about 4 o'clock this afternoon. It was just a really, really busy day. That's practice. But in the old days, before I had a booth, before I was a working actor, I walked around with my little Panasonic tape recorder and talked and talked and talked and talked. And today people have smartphones and they can do it and it's better quality. So I talk. I just work. I don't have warm-up exercises in the morning. I just push record and go into my booth and talk. And the first take may not be the best one first thing in the morning because I need more caffeine, but that's my workout. But I talk for a living. I talk all day long. I don't answer my phone because I talk so much.
Mm-hmm. Susan Bernard asks,
Hi Susan, I love you.
who would you like to work with that you haven't had the opportunity to work with yet?
There are people in the past that I never got the chance to work with. Would be, you know, my animation coach guru was Dawes Butler. I never got a chance to work with Dawes, never got a chance to work with Mel. Animation wise, I've been really lucky to have worked with everybody. I've worked with Mo and Rob and
June Foray.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've worked with, that group. Seth MacFarlane. I mean, I've done Family Guy, but he wasn't in the room.
Yeah,
but if he's watching, because I know he's a fan of your show,
he's coming on any day. He doesn't know it, but he's coming on.
Is he?
No, but he doesn't know it yet.
We've had his sister on. But
I want my own Family Guy Simpsons-esque type of show. I would love to work with Seth MacFarlane. I would love to, you know, the man's a genius. I mean, I've been very fortunate to have worked with so many different, I've worked with Spielberg. I'd say one of the best directors in animation is Seth Green. He is such an amazing animation director. But, you know, I would say Seth MacFarlane, if you're listening, call me. I'm with Atlas.
Way to put yourself out there. That's how
there you go.
That's right.
All right.
Don't miss any opportunities. Well, Amy, that question you answered about you're in your studio, Amy E. Fisher said, is most of your work in other studios than your home?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say the majority of my work would be, you know, if I'm working for Warner Brothers, I go to Warner Brothers. If I'm working for Disney, I go to Disney.
Yeah.
I a very small percentage of the work that I do in my studio is work. It's mostly auditioning.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Oh, another one. Everyone knows you're Porky Pig.
God love you.
Yes. But how do you brand yourself for other projects? I think we're going to play one of your demos here to show people some of the other stuff you do.
Okay. You want to do that before I talk?
Yeah, I'll play one of those clips right now. It's an audio clip.
All right.
KWYY-FM, Midwest Casper. Get a front row seat for the biggest change in my country history. This Friday morning at 8. 95.5.
Hey, Wyoming, this is Reba.
You're in the middle of more nonstop Reba on the new Reba 95.5. Changes in the air. Find out what. Where the country stars come out to play.
Enough country.
So I do radio imaging, and I had done radio imaging for quite some time. When I got an audition from a station, I was one of the Joe and Jack FM voices, which is that, you know, I don't listen to this stuff, I don't like this stuff, they're paying me to talk about it. That's the style. And I got an audition for a country station where they wanted that same delivery, but they wanted authentic Southern. So, you know, I slated, hi, this is Bob Bergen, and I did my take, and I did an audition. I got the job. And the phone rang. I went, hello. And he goes, is Bob? I said, yeah. Hey, Bob, this is your new program director. I went, oh, hey, how you doing?
Oh, baby.
He goes, I know you put it on. You don't have to do that. I went, oh, you could tell? He goes, my dog could tell you put it on. And I said, so just out of curiosity, why did you hire me? And he said, because I also listened to your cartoon demo, and you could be Santa Claus for Christmas, and you could be a leprechaun for St. Patrick's Day, et cetera. So they wanted a character person. So I've created this for these particular stations. I've got a few of them now. Country guy that just loves talking about radio, and it's been great. But that goes back to taking a risk. I went to the audition, and you know, in my booth, and I took a risk of, you know, faking who I was. And you know, today, you know, you can't fake anything. Everybody's just one like mouse click away. They can just do a little Google search if they don't, you know, know who you are.
Absolutely. Okay. Somebody asks, are you doing any workshops in Southern California, and do you want to come back to San Diego?
San Diego? I love San Diego.
San Diego. I don't know what is wrong with it. My mouth is frozen. It's
part I understand.
Tonight. Yes. But Martha Kahn in San Diego is asking about that.
Hey, Martha! These are all like really cool people that I absolutely adore. I think I'm doing a San Diego class in November if that works out. Excuse me. I'm doing a weekend class at the end of March in San Francisco, which I call my voiceover group therapy class, where it's really a business of the business weekend. And it really is group therapy. Everybody kind of contributes. I find out where you're at in your voiceover career. I find out what mistakes you've made. I find out what successes you've had. We all share together. And it's really blunt, and it's really specific. And it's very strategic. Everybody leaves that weekend with a roadmap of what to do with their career. Because most people, when you say, what do you want to do in voiceover, the stock answer is, I want to make money. Or I want to make a living doing voiceover. And that's why they're not. Because everybody wants to do that. And everybody isn't working. You know, you got to think of yourself. The voiceover industry is a herd. And you don't want to be amongst it. You want to be in front of it.
Right.
And if you're going to be in front of it, you've got to have very strategic and very specific ideas of what you do and where that fits into the marketplace. So when it comes to commercials, if it's soap, are you going to be Zest or Camay? Cars, are you going to be Lincoln Town Car or are you Hyundai? Are you Ruth's Chris or McDonald's? Are you The Gap or Saks Fifth Avenue or both? But you need to decide who you are, because your agent won't unless you tell them. Your demo won't unless it reflects it. So this is the type of stuff I do in that particular class. I've done it in Chicago. I've done it in Dallas and New York. And I'm doing it for the first time in San Francisco in March.
Yeah. Which and actually, our good friend Doug Turkel says, you want to get in touch with Seth MacFarlane, send him your demo.
Exactly.
You really think that Seth MacFarlane's going to go, hey, it's 4:07, it's demo listen time? I don't think so. But I will. But here's what you do, and that's a really good point. You need to create a network of people that you can work with or that you want to work with. So you just DVR a cartoon and look at all those names, not just Seth MacFarlane, but look at the writers. Look at the directors. Look at the animators. Look at everybody involved in a cartoon and find them on social networks. Friend them. Don't tell them what you want to do. Just friend them. They'll start following you slowly. They'll start, you know, your paths will cross electronically. Slowly, but they will. If you're a good marketer, does it in a way where the person they're marketing to has no idea they're being marketed to. It's a very subtle. There's a couple of books I recommend. One is called The Art of the Schmooze, and the other one is called How to Talk to Practically Anybody by Barbara Walters. And it's very dated and it's very old, but you need to be able to go up to people, whether it's electronic or in person, and talk to them without looking desperate or needy. So no, I'm not going to send Seth MacFarlane my demo. I'm fortunate that I know the casting director was Seth MacFarlane. So, you know, but that took a lot of trial and error. You know, it took a lot of auditions. So this business is nothing but nurturing relationships.
I totally agree.
It turns out Doug was talking about Seth Meyer saying to Steve Tardio that he should send his demo to Seth Meyer at Saturday Night Live. Another Seth in the chat room percolated into the mix.
You mean for the new announcer job?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll take that too. I'm not shy.
Get in line.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, it's been fabulous having you on tonight.
Oh, man.
Long overdue. You've been a busy guy in the past year.
And you guys, this is fun. It's always fun to talk with you guys, and I really appreciate you asking me to be your first of 2014.
Excellent. Well, starting off the year with a bang.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to a whimper,
as
T.S. Eliot once wrote. Anyway, thanks for being with us, Bob.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. Well, we've got a few minutes left here. We got anything else we got to talk about, George?
Yeah, we got a little, you know, say our thanks at the end of the show.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. We've got a few announcements here. We've got, we talked about Mixer Face. So we'll have the actual address there in the show notes. We still have plenty of East West Audio Body Shop clickers. $5, and we'll send them to you. Even in Canada. Chris Heward, if you're out there, I got to fill out the customs forms for a freaking clicker. But they did make it to Australia, so they should be able to get up to Canada.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So $5, you know, go to our right to our homepage here, and it's right there. If you want a clicker, we got them. I got a whole box full of them. It's not that we want to get rid of them. We want to improve your ability to do voiceover, and you know, and instead of just going through your mistakes and going,
to be one of the cheapest tools that will save you more time. There's nothing else cheaper or simpler that will save you more time in editing when you learn how to edit this way.
Right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Wow, we said it at the same time.
That's right.
Jinx.
You and I just think alike. Donations.
If you want to make one, you know.
Please, please do. Some of you have been amazingly generous to us. Eric Aragone on a weekly basis, Diane Merritt, and a bunch of other people. We really appreciate it. There's a donation link on our homepage there. Let's see here. We need to thank our wives, because without them, I think we'd probably do this full time.
we'd have no lives at all. I would have 50 RC airplanes and helicopters hanging around my office.
But yes.
Thank you to both of them. They put up with an awful lot.
Sure
our magnificent producer, Catherine Curridan, out in San Diego way. Thank you so much for helping us out. Anthony Gettig, all your help in the chat room. And who else we got on here?
Lee Penny
for all his assistance. And of course, our thoughts go out to Jason Lawson.
How's
hang
he
in
doing
there, bud.
Now? Is he hanging in there?
He's hanging in there.
Oh, good.
All right. Let's see here. Next week, who is our guest next week?
It's a surprise.
It's going to be a surprise.
To us as well. But that's another story.
You didn't have to tell them that.
I know.
We had it all laid out there, and you had a
I know. I have no showbiz, you know. I'm just not a, yeah, I'm not a cloak and dagger kind of guy.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, so neither is my son. He just tells the truth about everything, which can be good and sometimes not.
Right.
Let's see. Of course, our sponsors, Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials, VoiceOver Extra. Thank you, John Florian, for all your help. And, of course, your employer.
Edge Studio, which is also VO Studio Tech. And maybe this year we'll figure out how to bring those two brands into one under one umbrella eventually. But
that's right.
We're getting there.
Yeah, please like us on Facebook. If you're watching the show, chances are you already have. Like us again. You know, we appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter and please subscribe on YouTube. More people watch the show in replay on YouTube than you guys who show up every week. But we love having you here live. I think that's probably one of the things that makes the show more fun than we should be allowed to have.
Yeah,
and
if you can watch it live, we do tape it 6 o'clock on Pacific time every Monday, and we start the show a little early when we do it live, so those that do come to watch live get a little extra bonus at the beginning of the show before we record, which can be fun. So
a little extra zets in there.
Yeah.
Some people know what that means. Okay, so and make sure you like our videos on YouTube. So I guess that's going to wrap it up for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we started off 2014 just the way we wanted to.
Great show.
Almost perfect, technically.
Almost perfect. User error was pretty much the only thing that went wrong on this show.
Yeah, let's see. Now it's down to
last
3 degrees.
Oh,
degrees.
It hit zero, but okay. I would have lost that bet.
Yeah. Hopefully the pipes won't freeze in the apartment I own. that's a whole other story.
Good luck,
anyway, man. That's going to do it for us tonight. George, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan.
All righty. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. We'll see you next week, everybody. Have a good one.
Stay warm, everybody.